Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
My husband has a lot of female friends he will text and have lengthy phone conversations with, and it really bothers me. He says I have nothing to worry about and that there's no way he is or ever would have any interest in them. I believe his intentions are pure, but I think it's a slippery slope. I don't want to be demanding or deny him his friends. It's not like he can avoid coworkers, and he's a social guy. So maybe I'm just overreacting and making a big deal out of nothing. But I also wish he would take my warnings seriously and be more cautious. So this is my question. At what point does a friendship with the other gender cross the line from appropriate to inappropriate? Can a married Christian have friends of the opposite gender?
The quick answer is yes, you can have opposite gender friends, but there are wise ways to do it. There are at least a couple of reasons in this situation for the husband to heed his wife's counsel. So let's talk about those things.
Yeah, so wherever possible, we should prefer our spouses.
This is certainly the case when it comes to our spouse versus another person of the opposite sex. Christians are commanded to prefer one another in general. And we find that principle in Philippians 2, Romans 12, where Paul commands us to consider others more important than ourselves regarding just normal church relationships. So if that's the case with just normal church relationships, we're to prefer one another, we certainly should do that for our spouses. And preferring other people, it just simply means doing what they want at the expense of what you want. But then the marriage relationship is so special that it should take priority over all others, and that necessarily requires putting your spouse above yourself. So Genesis 2:24 reads, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The union of a man and a woman is utterly unique among all human relationships. There's no other relationship described by God as a one flesh union. It should be treated differently than all other relationships. It should be the highest priority. And Paul, in his instructions to husbands in Ephesians 5, he describes what that means. A man's wife is his flesh, so he should care for her the same way he cares for his own body. In fact, he should do what Christ did and pour himself out for his wife, sacrifice himself for her. At the very least, that means doing what's best for her. So let's pretend for a moment that there's nothing inappropriate with having a close relationship with someone of the opposite sex who's not your spouse. Let's pretend for a second that there's nothing unwise about that. If your spouse is bothered by it, as the person who asked this question says, it really bothers me. If your spouse is bothered by it, you shouldn't do it. If it causes your spouse distress, it makes them feel unsafe or unimportant to you, you should cut it off. That is a good enough reason to not do it. Now, it seems to me that to know that your spouse is bothered by your close relationship with someone of the opposite sex and to continue that relationship against their wishes or preference is to dishonor them. And I have no idea why you would do that. I'm not sure how to characterize that other than self-centeredness at best, callous disrespect at worst. So the first thing that comes to my mind is just prefer your spouse and don't do it.
Yeah, and to push your, you know, what the text says a little further about loving our wives as we would love ourselves, treat them as we would treat ourselves, you wouldn't do anything that really bothers you for the most part.
Oh, yeah. So excellent point. Yeah.
So we should think of it that way. That's helpful.
Right.
So the one flesh relationship creates an atmosphere where jealousy is actually appropriate.
Yeah, that sounds bizarre, but it's the truth. This one flesh relationship creates an atmosphere where jealousy is actually appropriate. Now, I don't want to paint this as simply a preference issue, you know, based upon the first point we just made. But, you know, I'm not simply saying just do what your spouse prefers. If your spouse prefers that you don't have close relationships with someone of the opposite sex, that's not a quirky thing.
Yeah.
It's actually a good and godly thing for your spouse to not want you to have a close relationship with someone of the opposite sex. The uniqueness of marriage creates an atmosphere where jealousy is actually appropriate. There is such a thing as godly jealousy, and we need look no further than our triune God to see this. God is a jealous God, and that simply means he does not want to share with others the worship that belongs to him. He doesn't want to share the affections of his people with others. He describes himself repeatedly as a jealous husband in the Old Testament. And for that reason, we know that being jealous is not an inherently bad thing. It's actually a good thing for a husband or a wife to not want to share their spouse with another person. The closeness of that one flesh relationship is intended to be exclusive to the marriage. So it's good for a spouse to be jealous of that closeness, to not want to share it. So a spouse who sees someone else encroaching on the special territory of their one flesh relationship is not being picky, but is being reasonable. Now, at the same time, there are spouses who are inordinately jealous. So there's such a thing as godly jealousy. There's also such a thing as ungodly jealousy. We did an episode on that a while back, episode 30, I think it was. And in that episode, we were addressing a couple where one spouse didn't want the other even speaking to someone of the opposite sex. And that's just unrealistic. There's nothing wrong with having opposite sex friends within the context of a marriage. Couples can have couple friends. We can have casual acquaintances of the opposite sex at church and at work. So that's not the kind of jealousy that I'm defending here. And it's possible that some spouses are so jealous that they don't even want their spouses to have that kind of contact with someone of the opposite sex. So I'm not defending that level of jealousy. But there is such a thing as good godly jealousy. It's a protection of your marriage.
Yeah, and it should be said, it's unwise in the extreme to have opposite sex friends that do not closely involve your spouse.
Right. So that the wife asking this question is right to be concerned, and she's right to be warning her husband. At the same time, it's possible that he is right and that she has nothing to be worried about. But biblical wisdom and thousands of years of human experience would testify that if there is someone being more prudent in this situation, it's probably her. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, this is just how adultery happens. You let your guard down with people of the opposite sex. Not everyone who has an affair goes out looking for one. I mean, we all know of people who have committed adultery who did not set out to commit adultery. They didn't wake up one morning and think, I think I'll have adultery today. I'm just going to go fishing. It frequently happens just simply by letting your guard down around someone of the opposite sex. I'm aware of a pastor, he was a former pastor, who was doing fine in his marriage. He would have said he was happily married. He got a new motorcycle. His wife and her friend were at the house. They were all looking at the motorcycle together. And his wife said to her friend, well, you should let him take you for a quick ride. So the wife is saying to her friend, let my husband take you for a ride on his motorcycle. And none of them stopped to think about what that was going to mean. It seemed innocent enough. Nobody's looking for any new relationship to form. But that pastor later confessed that feeling that woman's body up against his and her arms around him during that brief few minutes on the motorcycle made him think about her in a way that he had not previously. He started texting her the next day. 1 week later, they're in a hotel room having sex with each other.
Wow.
Just a tiny moment of letting their guards down. And I'm sure they would all have said prior to that, nothing would ever happen. And that wife never would have suggested it had she thought otherwise, but that's how easily it can happen. You just can't allow yourself to think, I'd never do anything like that. You have to take the stance, my sinful heart is capable of anything, so I'm not going to give it one inch.
Yeah.
Proverbs 6:27-28 reads, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? You can't get close to the fire indefinitely without paying the price. So stay away from the fire is the point there in Proverbs 6. And some of those early chapters of Proverbs, chapters 5 through 7, particularly 7, warn against being naive about the dangers around you. In early chapter 7, Solomon writes, For at the window of my house I've looked out through my lattice, and I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. Now, the thing to note is that there's no indication that this young man is on the prowl himself. He's not necessarily looking for sexual sin, but he's a fool because he's going where sexual temptation is waiting for him. He's putting himself in a bad situation, and a woman comes out to meet him. If you continue reading there in Proverbs 7, I won't go into all the details, but eventually the text says, he does not know that it will cost him his life. Again, he didn't willfully look for temptation and death, but he was unwise in the path that he took, and he paid the price. Earlier in the chapter, Solomon gives this prescription for avoiding that debacle. This is Proverbs 7, verses 4 and 5. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. So do what is wise, not what's foolish. And listen, saying things like, I can handle it, I would never do anything like that, that is foolish. That is like this young man in Proverbs 7 walking down the wrong road at the wrong time toward the adulterous woman. Run from temptation is the prescription of Scripture.
Yeah, and keep your testimony in mind.
Yeah, this is a really good thing to think about all the time, and not just as it pertains to this issue, but a lot of times we kind of default to the lowest bar possible, and we ask ourselves, is what I'm doing sin? When perhaps what we should be asking is what I'm doing commending the gospel? So Ephesians 5:3 says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't even allow there to be an impression that something is going on. And if you or I or anyone is, if we're engaging in close relationships with people of the opposite sex, we are allowing for other people to wonder, is there something going on? And we may be harming our testimony for the gospel. We don't want to be like the Cretans that Paul talks about in Titus 1:16, professing to know God but denying him by our works. I mean, that should be our highest aspiration, is by everything that we do to commend the gospel, even in things like this. What is this saying about my relationship with the Lord? I must be wise in these things. I just can't allow myself to do things that are going to cause other people to wonder about my testimony.
So what are some wise principles to govern our relationship with the opposite sex?
Well, here's just a few, and this is not an exhaustive list, but just a few things that may be helpful. First of all, don't have close relationships with the opposite sex that don't involve your spouse. Involve your spouse in everything. Keep all other opposite sex relationships as superficial as possible. If you're going to be friends with someone of the opposite sex, try to be friends with couples so that your wife is involved. If you have to work closely with people of the opposite gender at work, then tell a Christian brother or sister about that. Make sure that other people know about that and keep them in the loop about what's going on there. Just in your regular interaction with your accountability people in your life, be talking about that. Don't have lengthy phone conversations with people of the opposite sex. I just think that is so unwise. Lengthy, meaningful phone conversations with people of the opposite sex, That should be reserved for your spouse.
Yeah.
You're opening yourself up to all kinds of trouble when you're doing that with people that you're not married to. Don't email someone of the opposite sex without someone else being on that thread. Again, if you get into that habit, you're opening a private mode of conversation with that person that could end up going somewhere that it shouldn't. Likewise, don't text someone of the opposite sex without someone else being on that thread. Again, these are my principles. These are, I can't point to scripture on this. Mm-hmm. This is just th- things that I think are wise. In short, don't make any provision for the building of a relationship with someone of the opposite sex if your spouse is not at least as involved as you are. So those are some things that I would recommend.
Greg, would you say it's appropriate for you to be closer to that person of the opposite sex than your wife is, even if your wife is friends with that person? I know it's really specific, but it just popped in my head.
Probably not. That makes me really nervous.
Yeah.
Makes me really nervous.
You'd almost consider, how did it get to that point in the first place?
And how can that be sustained?
Yeah.
I'm a pastor, and I see pastors falling around me. It seems like it's happening all the time. And so I'm really on my guard against this kind of thing. So, maybe I'm more sensitive than other people, but I want my wife to be the only woman in my life. I don't want to have a close female friend.
Sure.
I don't want to have any close female friends. And even friends that we're, even couple friends that Shelby and I have, I want that wife to be more my wife's friend than my friend. Now, we've got couple friends that we really enjoy, and I enjoy the husband and the wife, but I don't ever want it to be the case that I think of that woman as my friend outside of the context of her marriage to that man.
Yeah, right.
She is my friend's wife. That's how I want to think of her, not my friend, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Maybe that's a little too careful. Maybe there's no such thing as too careful when it comes to this kind of thing, but that's how I think of it. I want my wife to be it for me.
Amen. And
praise God she is.
Yeah, this is just one of those areas where if there's any feelings of, this doesn't feel right, this isn't good, you just probably, you need to play it safe. You need to just back up. And because like you said, there's so many people who it just starts with these little subtle things. So
yes.
Praise God for this episode. I hope it blesses other people.
Amen.
Until next time.
All right. Thanks, brother.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.